All right. Well, here at the church, we are starting and working our way through this process of crossing your Jordan and possessing your destiny. And we've been talking about this for the last number of weeks. The analogy of Israel coming out of Egypt, crossing the Red Sea, going through the wilderness, crossing the Jordan, and then entering into Canaan is an analogy of our spiritual journey. We come out of the world, which is Egypt. We go through the Red Sea, which is our water baptism. There's a wilderness experience where we do not have spiritual fruit yet, but we're alive spiritually, where it's a point of transition, where we cross our Jordan, where we enter into our place of destiny, where we build the kingdom of God, where your life begins to count for the kingdom. It's no longer focus around yourself, that sort of wandering in the wilderness. You're God's people, but you really don't have a purpose. You're just sort of existing. You're there. You're a Christian. Thank the Lord we're Christians. But God wants us to cross our Jordan and possess your destiny, making your life count. And so we talked about that, and we saw that the Lord said, with most of the people, he wasn't well pleased because they didn't cross the Jordan. They died in the wilderness. And so we want to really do our best to get us all out of the wilderness. And that's what these series of messages are. We've gone to Joshua chapter 3, which is the account in the Old Testament about how these people actually crossed over the Jordan. And we are drawing truths out of this. The first truth that we drew out of it is that you had to die to your past to move into your future. Moses died, they had to die to their past, and they had to have a new leader, Joshua, and they crossed the Jordan. Then we saw last week that your initiative determines your possession. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread, I've given you. So it's our initiative. You take a step forward. You have to do something. If you don't take your step forward, you're not going to receive it. But the Lord says, you put your foot forward, you're going to receive it. I'll give it to you. And that is a tremendous principle for us to understand as Christians. You have at your initiative what you will possess in the things of God. There's no limit. God doesn't say, oh, I like that person better, so I'm going to let them have more of my kingdom. No, he's given us all special talents, and he says, you take a step forward. You take an initiative, and wherever you put your foot down, you can have it. Now, that was last week's message. So we're going to move on this morning to the next area, and our verses we're using is Joshua 1, verses 6 to 7. So after he tells them this, he says, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong, very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. And so here is the message for this morning. There's three necessary attitudes that we need to have to cross over. If you're going to get out of your wilderness, there's some attitudes you have to have. And it's amazing in this portion of Scripture. He goes over this over and over and over again. You can read through that. It's not just in these verses, but he comes back at it again and he tells them these three attitudes. So here's the first one. Be strong. He says, be strong. Be strong. Now, some of you are saying, well, that rules me out right there. I'm not strong, I'm weak. And we do. We just figure I'm disqualified. I mean, for some special people. But I'm not strong. We think about it as natural strength. Natural strength, you got to work out. Natural strength, you either wait, raise the the bar, or you can't. And you can't just be strong. Now, see, here's the difference. Physically, you just can't be strong. But spiritually, the admonition is, be strong. Be strong. Well, strong in what way? And I would say, if I was going to fill it in, I'd say, strong in faith. Strong in faith. Here's our verse, James 1 and verse 6. He says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. sort of speaks a little bit like that wilderness experience. You're going here, you're going there, you're over there, you're wandering around the wilderness. He says here, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Now that is quite powerful. We want to receive things from the Lord. And this is telling us, if you're not strong in faith, if you waver and you doubt, then don't think you're going to receive anything. You see how important, how key these attitudes are? The Lord says, you step out and I'll give it to you. See, there's the counter. He says, you step out and I'll give it to you. It's not like, maybe. No, I'll give it to you if you step out. But here he's saying, you need to step out. And here's what keeps us from stepping out. Because we don't really believe. We know Bible verses. We know things we should do. But I don't know why we don't do it. I know, because it goes against our natural inclination. We don't think it'll work. Give, and it shall be given unto you. We think, I give, I'm going to have less. Don't fool me now. I know if I give, I have less. And the Bible says, no, you give and you'll have more. The same measure you give, I'm going to give it back to you. See, that takes faith. We don't step out on that promise. And so we shy away and we don't think that that man's going to receive anything from the Lord. If we don't stand on his promises, then the promise won't work for you. But you have to be strong. Strong to step out. Not strong in your own ability. Not strong thinking I can do it. Not strong saying I'm capable within myself. No, it's strong in faith. Now let's carry on in this verse. It says, let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Now, to a certain degree, we're all double-minded. In that, there's a part of us that doubts. It's in our flesh. It's in our natural reasoning. There's a part of me when I look at the plans for the new building that says, who are you fooling? How are you going to build that building? See, and that's in everyone. It's that little voice in our own natural flesh that looks at our own strength says, I can't do it. But see, here's where you have to be strong. Your faith has to manhandle yourself, your own thinking, and say, I'm going to be strong in faith. I'm strong in faith. I'm going to believe this. I'm not going to doubt. See, even when the man prayed, there's a portion in the scripture where the man says, the Lord says, if you believe, you'll receive. And the man says, Lord, I believe, help thou my non-belief. That's, you could say on one side, well, that's being double-minded. No, that's being single-minded. You're recognizing your doubt. You're recognizing there's a part of me that I need to be strengthened. But I'm acting on he said, Lord, I believe. Lord, I'm stepping out. I'm being strong. I'm stepping out in my faith. Lord, I believe. Lord, help my unbelief. So in all of these things, I don't want you to think, well, that's why I don't get anything. I doubt. See, faith is not the absence of doubt. It's the presence of trust. It's not the absence of doubt. In your mind, you can have lots of doubts. But what you decide to do is, I am going to act on my faith. It's called a step of faith. So you, as I say, you muster your strength. It's a strength in faith that says, I will act in faith. Lord, help my unbelief. But I'm acting in faith, so you step out. That's where the strength comes from. So if you're going to doubt something, doubt your limits. There is a fill-in sheet on the, by the way, and you can follow along with me. If you're going to doubt something, doubt your limits. realize, yeah, in my own self I can't, but in God I can do much more. Here's this portion of scripture in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 8. I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. It says this. Paul's prayed to the Lord for something, and the Lord responds, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses. For when I am weak, then I am strong." So when we say be strong, it doesn't mean that you can look at yourself and say, well, I have no weaknesses, I'm strong. No, you realize, okay, when I'm weak, his strength is made perfect in weakness. In other words, our weaknesses do not hold us back. We are weak, but when you step out in faith, even in your weakness, but you are strong in faith and step out, the Lord says, I am there. That's where my strength kicks in, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. In fact, he prefers that because now he gets the glory and we don't get the glory. If you accomplish something and then you said, boy, see how strong I was and I handled that and I did that, then you would get the glory, and everybody would look and say, wow, I'd like to be like that person. But when you're pretty pathetic, and they see you have weaknesses, and you have failures, but you step out in faith, and God does a marvelous thing, and everybody goes, wow, look what God did. Look what God did. And so it's important that we're strong, but strong in faith. So I found this little writing. It says, to be strong, you must care more than others think is wise, risk more than others think is safe, dream more than others think is practical, and expect more than others think is possible. And you're doing it by faith. Faith in God, stepping out on his promises. Now, and this book is filled with promises of God. That's why you need to be in this book. And find out what God has promised you, what he says you can do. Find out the parameters of the land that he says, boy, you step out, I'll give that to you. And then take your step of faith. Be strong and step out into it. And we're going to see God do marvelous things as we move forward together. So that was the first one, be strong. Now here's the second necessary attitude that he says to do. And all of these are related. But the second one is be courageous. Be courageous. It says here in Joshua 1:7, be of good courage. Now, here's an interesting fact, and I mentioned this, I think, in a message a week or two ago. Joshua 3 and verse 15, when it's describing the state of the Jordan at this point, it says, for Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest. And they were going over at harvest time. And it says that Jordan was overflowing its banks. So if you looked at the natural circumstances, you'd say, this is not a good time to do this. It's more challenging now than it would be a few months from now. Why don't we wait a few months? Then it's not, see how we think? Then it won't take as much power. God won't have to, or we think, well, I think I could handle it at low season. Maybe I could wade into this, you know, and that's how we get thinking. It doesn't matter. Another verse in the Bible says it's not the Lord's, he doesn't mind, I just forget how the words start in the verse, but he talks about whether the Lord saves by many or by few. It doesn't matter. Gideon had 32,000 men to start with, I believe, and the Lord pares it back, till he only has 300 left. And then he says, okay, we can go ahead and do this now. It's not, and here's the fill-in. Our future is not about the state of the Jordan. It's about the state of your faith. It's not how big your problem is going to be what determines it. You have to be courageous. Courageous. You don't allow circumstances to intimidate you or to hold you back. Faith, all our fear, exaggerates the difficulties. fear exaggerates the difficulties. It's the enemy of faith. Actually, the opposite of faith is fear. And you've heard me say before, fear is believing what Satan has planned is going to come about. Faith is believing what God has planned is going to come about. So you either act in faith or you act in fear. So act in faith. Be strong in faith. Be courageous. It doesn't matter the circumstances. Some say, well, we can't do it because this is a bad economic season. Doesn't matter to the Lord whether the river is overflowing or it's low. The natural circumstances doesn't matter because he actually delights to show himself in difficult times. The more horrendous the difficulty, the more glory he gets when he brings the victory. So you need to be courageous. Not courageous thinking, I can do it, but courageous in faith. Saying God is with us. We can do this. It's not the absence of fear. It's not saying, well, I just have no fear. But it's a matter of saying, I'm acting in faith. So you don't allow your fear to cripple you. See, and here's your fill-in. Your problem isn't your problem. For most of us, the problem you think you have, that's not your problem. Your problem is not your problem. It's how you respond to your problem. That's your problem. How do you respond to your problem? How are you responding to your situation? Your situation isn't your problem. You can go through the Bible from one end to the other. They had problems. In fact, Jesus said, in this life you're going to have, he didn't use the word problems. He said, you're going to have tribulation, and tribulations are problems. In this life, you're going to have problems. That's just it, folks. It's just there. It's just going to happen. So don't be overly concerned about it. Your problem isn't your problem. It's how you respond to your problem. Courage doesn't mean that you're not afraid. It means you go on anyway. You go on anyway. You act on your faith. Courage is acting on your faith, even though you might have natural concerns. Because we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. You're going to have this dichotomy. But don't be double-minded. Don't let both minds be there. No, if they're there, but now my spiritual mind, my faith overcomes my fear and I step out. And that's what's being courageous. Courageous is stepping out by faith. It means risk. We don't like the word risk. But from a natural perspective, it always means risk. It's letting go of the familiar, what you're comfortable with. It's letting go of the things that you say, I can handle this. You can't steal second base and keep your foot on first base. You can't steal second base and keep your foot on first base. Every time I'm watching, you know, a ball game, and I see, you know, whether it's Rajay Davis or Bonifacio, you know, the speedsters on the Blue Jays team, you know, when you watch them, especially when you're there live, and you see them take off, and you see the ball, and you think, oh, he's going to get thrown out. And somehow, they get in there just before the tag. And it's not like it's a big margin. And a lot of times, they are thrown out. So you say, well, I can never steal second base. I get thrown out sometimes. Courage is you act anyway. You let go of the familiar. I don't know what that means to you in your life, your life. We're not playing baseball. But you got your foot on first base somewhere. And you're wanting to get around. You want to score. You want your life to count for God. But you're still on first base and you won't let go of it. You just need to say, what are the promises of God? See, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You need to be in God's Word. You need to be reading the stories of faith. You need to see what God has done. You need to talk to other people who have experienced the goodness of God. A little while ago, we were at a family reunion. In fact, we were at one yesterday, but it was a little different. And And that's what I appreciate so much about our family. You know, I have nephews there, cousins there, everyone's there. At this family reunion yesterday, we probably prayed 6 or 7 times in the afternoon as we're outside, as we're talking about things. And, well, let's pray about that. And someone will stand up and pray. I mean, that's just such a heritage that comes down to a Christian heritage. Now I got off on that, and I don't know where my point was. But we're talking about taking a risk and stepping out. But it's in those times when we trust God together and say, you know, we're going to believe God for this. And as a family, you pray and you step out into something. You need to do it. You know, you might even take, you know, here's a simple thing. Maybe there are Christians in your family, but you're a little afraid, a little intimidated to say, let's pray about this thing. Oh, well, you know what they think, even though the others are Christian. I remember when Kay and I, you know, I've said this before. I remember when Kay and I were first married, and we were on this trip, and we came home. And I don't know why. It's crazy, eh? I remember coming home and thinking to myself, I should say, thank the Lord for a good trip, for a safe trip. I had a hard time getting that out of my mouth. And you think, that's crazy. I mean, I think I was even pastoring at that time. But just in that setting to say to Kay, well, thank the Lord for a safe trip. Let's just thank the Lord for that. It was just hard. But now I almost do it every time. I mean, once you do it, there's seldom a time we don't pull into the driveway and I'll say, thank the Lord for a safe trip, especially if we've driven, you know, a length of time. But why is it that, you know, it's just the familiar. It's stepping out into something, saying you're going to pray, doing something that's just out of the ordinary, just stepping out. Where do you need to take a bit of a risk? It can be a small thing, can be a bigger thing. If you don't feel like you're acting over your head, you're probably not attempting enough to excel. I really believe spiritually we're way too cautious. Well, that's beyond me. I've never done that before. If I'd done it before, then maybe, but I've never done that before. But unless you feel like you're being stretched, then you're not being stretched. If there's not a risk factor in it, you're probably not stepping out in faith. You're not taking a new step if you always do what you've always done. And you know, as you know, what the definition of insanity is. Doing what you've always done and expecting you're going to get a different result. The results are not only going to change when you take a risk and do something different. You got to feel like you're acting over your head. If you don't feel that you're on the edge, you'll never occupy new territory. If you always got to be back in the safe comfort zone, that's the wilderness. We know, we've been around this mountain a few times. Yeah, it gets thirsty here, and yeah, we need this. We've been here before. Now, crossing over that Jordan, that's risky. There is enemies over there we got to conquer. You got to feel you're on the edge. You know, they talk about living on the edge. You got to push yourself to the edge. That's part of the walk of faith, pushing yourself to the edge, being courageous. We're talking about being courageous here. If you don't have some doubt in your ability to succeed, your vision's too small. If there's not some aspect that's saying to you, you can't do this, then you probably are not attempting enough. Your vision's too small. There always has to be God room. If we just did what we could do, we'd just be like everyone else in the world. If building a new church is just like building a new Dairy Queen franchise, well, then you just look at all the natural things. But if there's an element of faith and saying, well, we don't have the corporate background to build a building, but we say, you know what? But God is with us, and God's showing us this, and God's giving us this, leading and prompting. Well, then you step out in faith. You don't leap in a sense into an abyss. That would be presumption. But you do take a step. It's steps of faith. Every step is risky. But you can get your faith around it. That's the views the words I use just in my own thinking. There's something, you could just say, well, you could do anything then. Well, the Bible says, according to your faith, be it unto you. Yeah, you probably could do anything if you had your faith, but sometimes, this is what I say, I got to get my faith around it. I got to get my faith around that thing. And so I got to believe the Lord. I got to muster my faith. I've got to remove my doubts, and I got to know of a certainty. That's the step, and now's the step right now. And when you do that, it's still risky, but your faith, you're doing it in faith. You still know, boy, unless God shows up, this is not going to work, but I believe he'll show up. That's faith. Stepping out. Here's your fill-in. Faith is not trying to believe something regardless of the evidence. Faith is daring to do something regardless of the consequences. See, faith is not, I got a mental gymnastics. I can do it, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. It's not trying to psych yourself up to believe something. That's not faith. Faith is acting on something. Faith is acting on something that even though the banks are overflowing, the consequences, you say, wow, I don't know. But you step out anyway. That's being courageous, stepping out in faith. In fact, Hebrews chapter 11, which is the chapter of faith in the Bible, and it lists person after person through the book of Hebrews, different people, but you go through that list. It wasn't that they believed, but they acted on their belief. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. And you can just go, by faith, Noah being warned, prepared an ark. See, faith is acting on something. It's taking the step, not just trying to, in your mind, say, I believe God's going to do it, I believe God's going to do it, but I'm not going to take any steps. If it's going to happen, God's going to do this. That's not faith. Faith is you acting on what God has told you, because God always works in cooperation with us. It's just his principle. We sort of lost this world, and he says, okay, if we're going to regain it, we're doing this together. I'll be in you. I'll be the Spirit of God in you, but you're my body. You're my physical body on the earth, and so I'm going to use you. So you lay hands on people. You do things, and I will respond through you. It's not who you are that holds you back. It's who you think you are. And so, think of yourself the way God thinks of you. And be courageous and step out. Now here, that brings us to our third one here today. Be persistent. Be persistent. It said, do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left. Don't get distracted. Don't be put off course. He's telling these people how to cross the Jordan. Be strong, be courageous. Now listen, you're going to have a danger here that you're going to get sidetracked. Something's going to pull you. So don't look to the right. You know how horses, my grandfather was a teamster and had horses, but they have blinders on horses. And what are the blinders there for? So they don't get seeing this off here. You know, they're just... They want them just focused so they can put their strength in one direction. Don't get sidetracked. And so many ways you need to put blinders on. Not blinders to reality, but a focus on what God wants you to do. And so you're persistent. Say, this is what he's told me. This is the way I'm moving. And as someone said, don't doubt in the darkness what God has shown you in the light. It's the same thing. It's just now it's dark. But don't doubt in the darkness what God has shown you in the light. Be persistent. It's persistence that is really the power. And here's the fill-in. A river cuts through a rock, not because of its power, but its persistence. It's just steady. Over time, it erodes. You can go up to the Niagara Gorge and just see how the Niagara Falls, you know, water falling over that has just backed its way up miles over time. That river gouging out that the gorge. It's the continual effort putting forward. Same with prevailing winds. I saw a picture once, and there was a tree that was just bent over to the side. And you say, wow, how did it grow that way? But it was on an area where there were persistent winds. And it wasn't a strong wind that would uproot the tree or that would bend the tree. In fact, if it did that, it would break the tree. But it was a persistent wind, and the tree grew with the persistent winds. There's so much truth in that. Your life is based on your persistence. The little daily habits that you do will determine where your life is going and how it's shaped. It's not the big winds that, you know, oh, if I could just get to a service and get a big gust and power shot. Now, God does that. I mean, there are moments of awakening. But, you know, your life is shaped by the things you do every day. Things that you do, but you're persistent. It's not haphazard, not sometimes I do it. You do it day after day after day. Someone said success is 10% inspiration, 90% perspiration. That's just the, you know, a secular saying, but it has truth in it. 10% inspiration, 90% perspiration. Success seems to be largely a matter of hanging on after others have let go. So many people start, and then they get sidetracked, or they get discouraged, and they're not persistent. I remember hearing a pastor one time say, talking about reading the Bible through, he said, I've read the first 19 chapters of Genesis 1,000 times. You get started, but about chapter 19, you just sort of lose heart. Then another year go, okay, I'm going to read through the Bible this year. And that's how we are. Success is you carrying on after everyone else has stopped. Most people who succeed in the face of seemingly impossible conditions are people who simply don't know how to quit. You know, I look back through the history of our church, and we had the little magazine, and it, you know, it covered the highlights. But there were years where, you know, it didn't seem like we were getting very far, and people weren't coming, and especially in those first years when we were meeting in a basement of a church on Sunday afternoons, it was just tough. Didn't see the growth, and people have said to me, other pastors, well, how did you just keep going? And this is true. I said, I probably didn't know enough to quit. I mean, if I had maybe been a little more looking at other possibilities, maybe I would have quit. But that wasn't what God had. And a lot of times, just don't know enough to quit. Just keep going. Now, that's always balanced by assessing what you're doing and readjusting. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about the overall focus of what God has set you to do. Yeah, we make changes as we go. We don't just keep doing things over and over that fail. But we're not giving up. We're going to try and try again. Like Thomas Edison said that he had 10,000. That's 10,000 experiments that didn't work when he was trying to develop and invent the incandescent bulb. And they said, how did you keep going in all those failures? He said, I never viewed them as failures. He said, I just found another way that didn't work. See, he just didn't know enough to give up. The same with Alexander Graham Bell. You know, no one had ever thought you could put voice across a you know, a line. It had never been done before. But he just kept working. If you can read some of the material on just natural people that were persistent. When others said, it won't work, and gave up, they didn't give up. Success begins where other people give up. Your success begins where others end in failure. So here's another little writing I found, and it's something to think about. Believe while others are doubting. Plan while others are playing. Study while others are sleeping. Decide while others are delaying. Prepare while others are daydreaming. Begin while others are procrastinating. Work while others are wishing. Save while others are wasting. Listen while others are talking. Smile while others are frowning. Commend while others are criticizing. Persist when others are quitting. That is so true. We know it, don't we know it? I mean, we all know that. And it sort of inspires us when we read that, doesn't it? It sort of inspires me. Like reading an inspirational book. But here's what you remember. It's 10% inspiration. Success and breakthrough comes by being persistent and not giving up and keep doing it. Small things, day after day, doing the right things, day after day, will bring you to success. Your ability to get and remain focused is a key determinant of your success. Persistence. Isn't it interesting? The Lord tells the nation in this portion, he says, be strong, be courageous, be persistent. Don't turn. The Lord knows what it is to get us to win. Don't fall for Satan's, you know, we talked about this before, Satan's thing that you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you're not talented enough, you're not skillful enough. That is not the determining factor. Listen to what Theodore Roosevelt said, President of the United States, back in the 1900s, early 1900s. He said, industry and determination can do anything that genius and advantage can do, and many things they cannot do. Industry and determination can do anything that genius and advantage. You know, you're smart, you got the advantage. You can do a lot with genius and advantage. But he says, you know, industry, working hard, determination can do anything that genius and advantage can do. And it can do a lot of things that can't do, what they can't do. Don't put yourself down. We're all in the wilderness. God wants all of us to get out of your wilderness. And so the key attitudes, the important attitudes, what are they? Say them with me. Be strong. I try it again. Be strong. And then be courageous. And the third one, be persistent. And if we do that, we're going to see God bring us the victory. One final thing, another president. I have this actually in a little plaque. It's over in the office. I saw that and picked it up. It was by Calvin Coolidge. Never did know Calvin. It was before my time. But he said some good things. This is what he said. Nothing in the world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. Persistence and determination alone are omnipotent. I don't know what inspired him to say that, but it's true. And that's exactly what God told the children of Israel they needed to do in crossing the Jordan. Now, finally, you've heard me use this quote, and I found it when we first were going to buy this property over. So that would have been in 2004 when we bought that property and we had to get $400,000. Seemed like so much money back almost 10 years ago to find $400,000. And, you know, we had to raise it. We bought the property. Now we got to pay for it. And I found this quote by Hudson Taylor, the great missionary Christian entrepreneur as far as spreading the gospel around the world. And this is what he said. Any great endeavor for God goes through three stages. First, it's impossible. You ever feel that way? You see this thing God shows you and you go, oh, that's impossible. That's your human nature speaking out and say, it's impossible. But you know what you do? You muster your strength and your courage and you say, I'm going to step out. Takes you to the second stage. The second stage is, it's difficult. First stage, it's impossible. Second stage, it's difficult. And the third stage, it's done. And I felt that same way. That came to me, and I had that sitting on a little thing on the desk in the office. When I think about this property, I'd look at it, and I'd say, that's impossible. And then we were in the midst of paying it off. Man, this is difficult. But you know, there came a day, it's done. I remember standing here. We had the picture, I think, of it in the 40th magazine when we burned the mortgage. It was done. And so take this message today to your own personal life. You know, it works corporately, but it works individually. And ask yourself, what is God showing me? What's my next step? Will I be strong in taking it? Will I be courageous in taking it? And will I be persistent in following through? If we will, if we do, it's going to be done, folks. We're going to get into the promised land. Your life's going to count. You're going to see what's happening in eternity, how your life counted for the kingdom of God. Well, where are you in your life? Is the thing in front of you impossible? Is the thing you're going through right now difficult? Let's apply this, and let's pray together that we'll come out the other side, and it'll be done. Father, you see each person in this place this morning. These words are written for our admonition. They're to be an example to us. Lord, may the truth of this not escape anyone here. May there no one here rule themselves out by thinking, this is not for me, I'm insignificant, my life doesn't count that much. Lord, you got plans for us that would astound us. And I pray, Lord, that every person here would have strength, be strong in faith, be courageous, will be persistent, will work together, will move forward together, will step out. Families will come together. Individuals will take steps for their future. Lord, you see the application and ask right now, by your Holy Spirit, would you just do something in us today that would move us forward? Move us forward in the things of you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.